To hear you, can you hear me okay? Okay, great, thanks. Thanks for joining me. I am so excited to talk about our topic today, about how to protect yourself from lawsuits, the zealous IRS agents. So I try to make this a sort of an interactive and dynamic presentation. With that in mind, I'll give you the opportunity to ask some questions. So please feel free to do that. I ask you to keep two things in mind when you're asking questions. The first one is, you can't start a question with "my CPA told me" or "my attorney said," okay? They might have a good reason for the advice that they gave you, but I'm not going to know enough about the circumstances, okay? So what you can do is you can ask me a question. Here's the question I've got. Here's the situation I've got. What do you think about it? And I'm glad to answer. But what I can't do is I can't engage in a hypothetical debate with someone that probably knows more about this than I do in this forum. Okay. The second thing is, I'd like you to ask questions that you think are going to be beneficial to everyone in the group. Okay. I was in an event a couple of weeks ago, and a lady was asking about obtaining non-recourse $10 million commercial loans. And I said, you're the only person in the room that's going to deal with that. We're not going to take that question. Okay. So having said that, you know, I will let you know when I'm ready to take questions. My name is Bill Knoll, and I am a speaker, a writer, a landlord, an investor. These materials were created by myself and the late, great, dear friend of mine, Al Aiella. Thank you for coming today. You are here because you're investing in real estate. And as a real estate investor, you want to have an asset protection plan specifically for you, not for the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. Your asset protection plan should give you total protection while avoiding adverse, bad tax results, avoiding high IRS audit risk, avoiding something that's complicated, this isn't, and avoiding high-cost attorneys. Doesn't that sound great? There are no bad side effects. We're going to jump ahead. Welcome to our program today, the LLC Master Machine Asset Protection System. Who are you, do you need to be protected from? How about creditors, wrongful creditors, money-hungry lawyers, lawsuits, co-investors, disagreements with investors, and the worst vulture of all, the IRS, protecting yourself while avoiding expensive lawyers? I'm going to show you how to get a structure in place to really make you lawyer repellent. We're going to show you how to make the legal system work in your favor. So who's Bill Knoll? Why should you listen to Bill? Okay. So I am a currently licensed attorney and CPA. I speak to groups like this all over the place. I manage my own properties and I'm an investor. So my professional experience, I began working in accounting in the 1980s. I got an undergraduate degree in accounting. I went directly to law school, graduated law school, worked as a prosecutor like you see on TV, did that for several years, and then became a partner in a litigation-focused practice, suburban Philadelphia. I'm in suburban Philadelphia. I'm not in Ohio. But everything I teach is valid in Ohio. So what did I handle in my litigation practice? I did criminal defense. I did We Get Money for You personal injury work. I did workers' compensation. I handled family law matters and divorce. Nightmare. By the way, I like my criminal clients a lot better than I like my divorce clients. Okay? And so, really, I was a courtroom attorney until I decided I just got tired of going to court very frequently. For the last 15 years, I've limited my practice to what accountants call tax compliance. That means I do tax returns in my CPA firm, and business entities and structuring, okay? So, let's move right along. As a real estate investor, you can be sued anywhere, anytime, for any reason. There are thousands of lawsuits filed daily. One lawsuit can wipe you out. Let me explain a few things. Especially if you're someone who's newer to investing in real estate. If you get sued, the first thing you're going to say is, I didn't do anything wrong. How can I be sued? And the answer is, the initiation of a lawsuit is the mere allegation of a wrong. Someone says, you did something wrong to me, and then there's a claim generally for some kind of compensation, money damages. That's what a lawsuit is. So it's a mere allegation of a wrong. Now, the process of litigating, which includes pleadings, discovery, motions, potentially resolving a case through a motion to dismiss, arbitration, or trial, whether by jury or judge, that's the way a case gets resolved. Okay? So the mere allegation of a wrong doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong. Now, with the right structure, you can prevent a lot of problems. That's what we're going to talk today. So I want to tell you a story about a very close friend of mine. About 15 years ago, he is a surgeon, okay? And he was in a surgical practice in the Wilmington, Delaware area. He had a partner who had just joined the practice, younger guy, after doing all these, like, what I'm going to say, are low-paid fellowships to become a hyper-specialized surgeon, okay? Finally, he's in a practice. He's making big money, okay? He's already got a wife and a couple of kids. So they decide they're going to build a big multi-million dollar custom home in the area. And so it's going to take like almost 18 months to get this thing built. While the home is being built, they rent. They rent a regular middle-class home from a landlord, okay? A landlord who wasn't too worried about getting sued, okay? So one summer day, the physician is driving home from the hospital where he performed surgery to his home, okay? And that home didn't have a garage, it had a driveway, and there was a big oak tree that kind of stood in the front yard with a lot of limbs that hung over the driveway. So as he's driving to the house, a thunderstorm starts brewing. He gets to the house, the thunderstorm's really happening, rain's coming down, wind's blowing, he jumps out of the car, he's ready to run forward to the house. At that exact moment, a large gust of wind strikes, causing a big tree limb to fall. It hit him, and he was paralyzed, okay? So as a result of that, he now had a huge lawsuit because, you know, it's pretty hard for a surgeon to perform surgery without being able to stand, okay? It dramatically impacted his earning capacity, and so there was a multi-million dollar lawsuit filed against the landlord who wasn't worried, I got insurance, I can take care of it, you know, what's the big deal, all right? Wipe the landlord out, okay? Now, even if you don't have some kind of humongous case like that, even if you win a lawsuit, oftentimes, because we're going to talk about lots of different types of suits, even if you win a lawsuit, you know, it costs money. Typically, most lawsuits, except for injury cases, you got to pay an attorney. They become distracting. A lawsuit keeps you your mind occupied by something other than growing your business, okay? I can say this as someone who's been to court more times than I could ever count. The only ones who win in legal action are lawyers. Why do we worry about lawsuits? Well, real estate is, it's physical, it's tangible, okay? So you rent to tenants. Those tenants can sustain injuries in the properties. You can have tenants who bring in guests that can sustain injuries. If you have commercial properties, the tenants have patrons that come onto the property. So, you know, it's the fact that things are physical and people can get hurt on a premises that can be an issue. You know, if you invest in some kind of like Fidelity mutual fund, you don't have to worry about getting sued for that. You know what I mean? But as an investor, you got to be prepared to have a structure to protect yourself. So what is it? Okay, as I said, it's physical in nature. You know, you got a lot of people who interact with the properties. Okay, so, well, yeah, but you know, I got insurance, so I guess I don't have anything to worry about. Not quite. So I'm not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that you don't have liability insurance. You should, and you must if you have any kind of financing. But liability insurance isn't going to protect you from all kind of claims that can be made, including disagreements with tenants, claims of things like discrimination. How about the fact that the house made someone's kid sick, purportedly, okay? Or you haven't followed the local building code and they're going to file some kind of claim against you. Disagreements with contractors. You hire someone to do a job, they do it poorly, and then they say, you owe me money. It costs more to fix it. Disagreements with co-investors. How about other kind of disagreements? You can deal with real estate agents, a management company. You know, all kinds of people can result in the initiation of a lawsuit. You want to have a structure in place to make it painful for them to pursue that lawsuit, okay? So, you know, insurance will not cover, generally, environmental claims. For instance, If you have like a lead paint issue, you got mold, those things are not covered. They're specifically excluded by your typical policy. And also, there can be claims made that you have somehow discriminated against a tenant. There was a case that was in the paper in Philadelphia just like 6 or 8 weeks ago, where a pretty large management company, they managed several very significant apartment complexes, got fined several hundred thousand dollars for discriminating. What they did was they asked the people applying to rent the units to see their driver's license. Apparently, that's discriminatory because not everyone has a driver's license. Basically, they were just saying, like, who am I running to? But apparently, you can't do it that way. And by the way, I'm not sure how you can, okay? But somehow, you have to find out who a tenant is without making them feel uncomfortable regarding, ultimately, what they said is their citizenship status. Like, in essence, you know, you could be discriminating against a non-citizen because it's harder for them to get a license. I still don't get it, okay? But just be aware, that's the kind of thing. You want to have a structure in place. You know, insurance is not going to cover defense in those types of claims, the environmental, the discrimination. Insurance is not going to protect you in the event that you have a claim which exceeds the limits. A typical policy might cover you $1 million. $1 million didn't go far with the surgeon physician who became paralyzed, okay? Insurance will not prevent lawsuits from happening by creating anonymity, okay? Insurance is not going to give you financial privacy, all right? And that's critical to protecting your assets. Insurance won't defend you in an audit with the IRS. The program I'm going to teach you about today does. Insurance doesn't support tax-saving strategies for you as a real estate investor, which exists for you and only you as a real estate investor. So what I'm going to offer you today is our properly structured LLC package. It's an LLC package with an asset protection plan to prevent all of these negative consequences from occurring. I'm going to teach you about the powers of LLCs. I'm going to show you how you can use this system either with a newly created LLC or you can update an existing LLC to protect yourself probably more fully than the current bare bones documents that you have. So what's an LLC? An LLC is a limited liability company. In essence, it is a type of entity, okay, a legal fiction authorized by the state, okay, where, and it's similar to a corporation, but not exactly the same, and the owners of an LLC are called members, okay? So when you have a properly structured LLC, you get the major advantage of other types of entities while avoiding their pitfalls. So what are those? LLCs give you liability protection similar to corporations, okay? But there are big problems with corporations holding title to real estate, which limit your refinancing flexibility, okay? So LLCs have the great tax advantages of a general partnership, but a true general partnership, there's no liability protection whatsoever. Each partner is liable for any actions the other partner engages in. So you don't want that. There's limited partnerships. I'm just going to skip ahead and say stay away from limited partnerships unless you're worried about a federal estate tax issue worth more than $22 million. So how about S corporations? Okay. So my buddy Al would write this slide. What's the S in S corporation stand for? It stinks. Okay. Why? Because S corps are most litigated entity, primarily because when you have an S corporation, you have to pay yourself wages, W-2 salary. Okay. So now, I just want to say one thing. That's for holding real estate, okay? I don't have a problem with an S-corp if you've got a separate, what's called trader business. My accounting firm's technically an S-corp, okay? So, but what I'm saying is when you're holding title to real estate as an investor, you want to avoid S-corps, okay? By the way, I want you to understand what I'm proposing is that you set up an LLC in which many investments can be held within it so that you're not having to create LLCs, new LLCs constantly, which is great advice for a guy who runs a law firm who wants to be able to charge you $800 every time you set up an LLC, or even if you do it online, it's going to cost you money. You know, the states love collecting just the filing fee, okay? So keep in mind, I want a single LLC for lots of your investments. And also, so often I hear about attorneys, and I talked about this yesterday in my Q&A, I hear about accountants recommending, if you say you're a home flipper, that you use an S-Corp. And I disagree with that. It's something that we can talk about. If you buy a program, you're going to get a 45-minute phone call with me. All right. So ultimately, an LLC is superior to a sole proprietorship, a general partnership, limited partnership, family limited partnership, S-Corps. I'm fine with land trust, but not as a tax issue. Okay, so you can mix land trust with LLC, as I propose, or C-Corps holding title to the properties. Okay, LLCs really don't have disadvantages when you have them properly formed, set up, and documented. Unfortunately, most people don't have them formed, set up, and documented properly. So how about this? Where do you establish your LLC? If you have been involved in real estate investing for any period of time, you know that there are guys that travel the country talking about, come see our asset protection seminar, almost always in Las Vegas, okay? And they will tell you, oh, you've got to set up a multitude of entities, okay? And usually there's a limited partnership in there somewhere. You got to set up a multitude of entities, and you're going to set up, you know, potentially an LLC. It's a Nevada LLC. Oh, and by the way, we recommend Nevada because, you know, there's no income tax in Nevada. But if you happen to have a Nevada LLC that earns income in Ohio on Ohio real estate, do you get to say, oh, state of Ohio, I don't have to pay taxes because I've got a Nevada LLC? Of course you don't. So what's the point? It's fluff. It's muss. Okay? And by the way, why do they do it in Vegas? I can tell you why they do it in Vegas, because most of the guys that sell this stuff are non-barred former attorneys, and they don't enforce the unauthorized practice of law in Nevada because they're too busy chasing mobsters. All right, so where should you establish your LLC? The state where you expect to have most of your investments. If you're primarily investing in Ohio, Ohio LLC. Primarily investing in Michigan, Michigan LLC. Why? Because if a lawsuit's initiated, it's going to be initiated in the state where the property's located, and the courts are going to follow the state law for that property. Okay? So, what do I want to do? I want to talk to you about why I believe an LLC, taxed as a partnership, is the best way to go. I skipped something. Let me go back. So, when you create an LLC, the IRS lets you decide how it will be treated for what I'm going to call tax purposes, for tax filing. All right? So, if you create an LLC and it's a single member LLC, that means, or sometimes they say sole member, that means you only have one owner. Okay? When you have an LLC with one owner, by default, if you take no action, that LLC will file taxes as what's called a disregarded entity. What's a disregarded entity? A disregarded entity, in essence, means the LLC does not file a separate tax return. Instead, the income and deductions of the LLC disregarded entity are reported on its owner's tax return. Usually, you have individuals who start a disregarded entity LLC, and that means they're going to report either on Schedule C for business income and activities or Schedule E, page 1, for rental income and activities. Okay, so the default when you have a single member LLC is a disregarded entity, meaning everything shows up on the owner's tax return. That's the default. The owner of a single member LLC could also file an election for that LLC to be taxed as either an S corp or a C corp. Next, what if you have a multi-member LLC, more than one, two or more, okay? So by default, a multi-member LLC will be taxed as a partnership. That's what we're going to be talking about in a minute. So a multi-member LLC is taxed as a partnership unless those owners file an election for that multi-member LLC to be taxed as either an S-Corp or a C-Corp. When I take questions from you and you ask a question, I have an LLC. You got to say, I have a question. It's an LLC disregarded entity, or I have an LLC taxed as a partnership. If you just say, I have an LLC, I don't have enough information to even answer the question, because LLC is a state sanctioned entity that tells me nothing about its tax ramifications. All right? So why do I think an LLC taxed as a partnership is the way to go? I like this slide. We're going to show you from a legal standpoint, from a tax standpoint, and from the Internal Revenue standpoint. Okay? What you want is the LLC tax as a partnership because it protects your assets the best, reduces your taxes, and reduces the chance of being audited. And as I said, for real estate, it is an LLC tax as a partnership. So from a legal standpoint, that gives you liability protection. What's liability protection? That means that your personal assets are protected from the claims of creditors of your LLC. Next, in the center of the slide, it is a partnership which gives you flow-through tax treatment. So, you know, with a partnership, you can legally pay the most, the least taxes possible. And lastly, from an IRS standpoint, you're now going to be filing a Form 1065 partnership tax return. Okay? And when you file a partnership tax return, all right, you're going to, the owners of that partnership are issued what are called K-1s. What's a K-1? I describe K-1s as a souped-up W-2. What's that mean? It basically is information provided to the IRS about what the IRS calls the items of income and deductions passing through to those owners. Okay? So then the owners or the accountant takes the K-1 and that information shows up on the individual's tax return for the calculation of the tax. Okay? Now, that is as opposed to, as most people often have a disregarded entity, they will report their income and expenses on either Schedule C, income from self-employment, or Schedule E, page 1, rental income or expenses. So, you know, when you do it that way, you are much, much more likely to be audited. How much more likely? 300 to 400%. Anyone in here dying to be audited? All right. With this superior entity, you're segregating, in essence, your personal life from your business life. Okay? So a couple of items to be aware of. The first one is included in that segregation. I can't tell you, I hear stories about people setting up an LLC. They don't set up a business bank account. If you have an LLC without a business bank account, you might as well not have wasted your time paying the filing fee. It's so useless. Okay? So establish an LLC, open a business bank account. What goes into the business bank account? Money you will invest for the LLC. Okay? Also, what goes into the business bank account? Money you earn. If you're a landlord, you collect rents. If you are someone who's buying, selling properties, the gains and the sale dispositions go into the bank account of the LLC. What comes out? Of course, legitimate business deductions of the LLC, including, if you're a landlord, things like potentially property insurance, mortgage payments, repairs, okay? When you're an investor, of course, not a landlord, you know, the improvements to the property before you're going to get it sold. Okay, so what are you doing? You're really operating this thing like a business. Now, what don't you do? Here's what you don't do. You don't say to yourself, hey, I got $12,000 in the bank, and I owe $6,000 for my kids' tuition. So I'm going to just cut a check from the LLC's bank account to my kids' school for $6,000. You don't do that, okay? Because that's the commingling of business and personal financial accounts, and that's where you can have veil piercing that we're going to talk about in a minute. So, you know, someone's like, yeah, but I do this to make money. How do I get my money? Very simply, you are allowed to take what's called a non-taxable partnership distribution. All you have to do is cut a check from the LLC's account to yourself personally. That's allowed, absolutely and positively. And don't forget, the money in that account, when you're operating this way, is really your money, okay? But don't take the shortcut of just paying personal expenses out of the bank account of your LLC, okay? So, again, another way of saying this, your LLC will file the income and deductions on the 1065. The flow-through benefits show up on the 1040, but you're not going to be filing either a Schedule C or a Schedule E, page 1. That's where the real heightened audit risk happens, okay? Now, If you have a single member LLC, a disregarded entity, realize that those are the easiest entities for the veil to be pierced. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more. And as I already mentioned, you're 300 to 400% more likely to be audited. So with that, let me take a few questions. And I'd like people who asked questions yesterday to refrain as much as possible so we can get new people who might have new questions. Go ahead.
Yes, about this particular slide, I have heard different things from different...
No, you can't tell me what you heard. You can ask me a question.
Okay. Fair enough. Is a husband and wife joint member LLC, is that...
I'm okay with that because of what's called charging order protection, which is an additional layer of protection between partners. Courts do not want to get involved with LLC's taxes of partnership. And the fact that you're married, I don't believe, changes that to any degree.
Okay, so that's better than a single member.
Absolutely, it's better than a single member. Yep, go ahead.
I have a single member. How hard is it to add my wife?
How hard is it? Great question. It says, I have a single member. How hard is it to add my wife? It's real easy. Add your wife. Okay? It's like that easy. Okay? You're going to add your wife as of January 2nd, 2022. That will allow you to file a full year partnership tax return. Okay? Now, next question. Do I have to tell the IRS I added my wife? No, you don't. Okay? All you have to do is file a partnership tax return. That is basically, once more than one person holds an interest in an LLC, by operation of law, you no longer can treat it as a disregarded entity. So you have to file that partnership return. So it's literally that easy, and our system shows you how to do that. Go ahead.
Wife and I have a LLC, and we take a distribution, partnership distribution. Is that considered W-2 income?
Okay, so the question is, my wife and I have an LLC. If we take a partnership, no income from an LLC taxes a partnership is W-2 income. There is no such thing. A partner cannot pay themselves a wage or a salary. Okay? The partner can pay themselves something similar to that. It's called a guaranteed payment, and then that is subject to self-employment tax. Okay? But getting back to your point, the whole reason you want to stay away from S-Corps is when you're a real estate investor, you primarily earn income either from rental properties or from selling properties. Both of those items do not result in self-employment income. They're not subject to self-employment tax. So why would you want to create a circumstance to pay extra self-employment tax when you don't need to? Got it? Oh, yep, go ahead. You got to talk louder.
Just a clarifying question. The 1065 is the filing that I would do for a partnership LLC, and that would be separate than my 1040 that I would do with me and my spouse.
So she's saying, just want to make sure, there are two tax returns. When you have an LLC tax of partnership, there are two returns. There's the partnership return itself, the 1065. K-1s get issued to the members. The members then use those K-1s to file their 1040. That's whether you would be married or you'd have a partner who's not a spouse. Okay? All right, great. Yep, go ahead.
You make a distribution. You have a preference on a check, or I have two accounts, my personal and my LLC account, the same bank. Transfer the funds.
I use the word check. I don't care if it's an electronic transfer. Good questions. Okay, anyone? Go ahead, sir.
You mentioned using land trusts.
Yes.
How desirable is that to do?
I don't have. I am land trust agnostic. Okay, so I'm not for them. I'm not against them. They're a tool. They're fine with me. I'm just saying you can use them if you want to. Don't have to use them if you don't want to. Okay. Yes, sir. Potentially, the question is, if I have an LLC set up for a different purpose, can I convert it? The answer I say is potentially yes, but here's what you need to understand. This LLC that I'm talking about is solely for real estate investing purposes, okay? So here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to set up your LLC for real estate investing purposes and, oh, by the way, I'm a real estate agent and I'm going to run my commissions through this LLC also. You don't want to do that. It screws things up under what are called the passive activity loss rules, okay? So if you have an existing LLC, okay, that's not engaging in what I'm going to say, trade or business activity, that you want to convert to this, yes, you can absolutely do that.
Second question is, what do I have to do to maintain?
What do you have to do to maintain? Well, that's what I'm teaching you about this whole class. Wow. I'll get one more question. Someone in the back. You got to stand up and yell for me, please, ma'am.
If you already have an LLC that's a single member, does it have a red flag or anything if you switch it?
Oh, yeah. No, not in the least. People change LLCs all the time, their ownership, okay? So does it create a red flag? Not in the least. The red flag, in my opinion, it's not a red flag, but, you know, the reality is you're much more likely to be audited as a disregarded entity, so why would you stick with it? Great questions. Let's move ahead. Appreciate it. All right. So hopefully at this point I've convinced you that an LLC taxed as a partnership is the right structure for you as a real estate investor. So, of course, in order to have an LLC taxed as a partnership, you got to have more than one owner, okay? So, easiest one is, the gentleman asked over here, can I add my wife? Yep. That becomes, all of a sudden, an LLC taxed as a partnership. Every once in a while, it would usually be a young guy, I'm going to say 35 or under, who recently got married, and he looks at me and goes, I'm not sure I want my wife as my partner. And I say, under the law, she's your partner right now, whether you like it or not. Okay? Now, so spouse, easy. Another one, you could have a family member, like a parent or an adult child, hold a small, just a 1% interest in the LLC. You could own 99% of your LLC. Parent owns 1% interest in the LLC. And then you're allowed to do what's called a special allocation where 100% of the profits, 100% of the deductions are allocated to you on your K-1. The 1% holder gets a K-1 with zeros on it. They are what's known as a 1% capital holder, okay? Why do I tell you that? Because, in essence, it doesn't make their tax return complicated. They're zeros. There's nothing to add. They don't even have to report the K-1 because it's zero, okay? So if you've got a family member who's willing to hold a 1% interest, that's another great way to establish an LLC tax as a partnership. I mean, you could do it with a friend, too. How about this? You just don't want to get anyone else involved, okay? You just say, I don't want to deal with anyone else. Okay, we can help you there. So, you can establish, and I recommend in our program that you establish what's called a Wyoming Statutory Closed Corporation. It's a C-Corp. It's a Wyoming C-Corp. So you establish the Wyoming C-Corp. You're the 100% owner of that C-Corp. Okay? Now, you turn around and you create your LLC, and you state that 98% ownership of that LLC is yours in your individual name, individual capacity. 2% is owned by the C-Corp that you happen to own, okay? But that allows you to file a partnership tax return. Now, the C-Corp will get a K-1. It's only like a 1 or a 2% member, so the dollars are going to be small, but you'll have to file a tax return for that C-Corp, but there's really not much to it. So you can, in essence, do a partnership with yourself. Now, please, you can't do it with an S-Corp, you can't do it with a trust, you can't do it with anything else. It's just with a C-Corp, okay? In our program, if you buy it today, you get a 45-minute call with me. This C-Corp is an option, okay? When I do the call and I talk to people, I'm going to say 85%, 90% of the time, people tell me their situation, I say, you don't need the C-Corp, okay? You can do it if you want, but you don't need it, okay? So the other benefit of the C-Corp is if you need to pay for your own health insurance, C-Corps are allowed to do straight deduction for health insurance that other flow-throughs can't do, okay? So that's the benefit to the use of a C-Corp. Okay. Now, once you've established this LLC, what have you done? You've started a business. You're going to engage in business activity. And now that you've done that, you've opened a bank account, you're not just getting non-deductible education, you're now, in essence, incurring business expenses, which are deductible, especially for your training, your travel, attending this event, okay? If you don't have an LLC set up, the only way you can report it's on a Schedule C, okay? Audit me, okay? You don't want to do that, okay? But once you have the LLC set up, you can feel confident. I can't tell you. Partnership tax returns just are not being audited. Now, with the new IRS alleged increase in staff, here's what I can tell you. They will be, okay? But you got to realize something. The target is not the people in this room, okay? The target, LLCs, taxes, partnerships are the prime vehicle that hedge funds use on 100 million plus investments, okay? So when they say they're going after flow throughs, that's really what they're talking about, okay? So, can you deduct these things? Yeah, even if you haven't bought a property, even if you haven't closed a deal, we can show you how to do that. Even if you incurred expenses in 2019 and 2020 and 2021, we can show you how to deduct all those on your 2022 tax return. Now, let's talk about veil piercing. How many people in here have heard of the term piercing the veil? About half. So what's it mean? First thing you got to understand is this. Your primary fiduciary duty as an owner, operator of a business is don't screw the creditors. What's that mean? You try to operate the business for a profit and repay your creditors. That's what it means. Okay? Now, why do I tell you that? I'm going to take you back to what I said about putting money into the LLC's account, taking money out of the LLC's account. Okay? So as long as you're not commingling business and personal financials within your LLC, that is a huge factor against veil piercing. Okay? So properly operating your LLC is critical. So what veil piercing means is this. The court has decided that you have acted as, and the legal term they use is the alter ego of the company. What that really means is this. No one knows where you begin and the company ends. Like, it's just too closely woven. That's just the best way to say it. You're acting, in essence, as your own company, person. There's no distinguishing those things, okay? So a court can say we're going to allow the veil to be pierced. What does that mean? That means that if a judgment's entered, it will be entered against both your LLC and the person who had the veil pierced. So the judgment gets entered against both, and that's what you want to avoid. The fact of the matter is it's smaller, less established companies that are most often subject to veil piercing, okay? Why? Because they don't have the documents in place. So the kryptonite to protect against veil piercing and create a moat around your personal assets is proper entity formality with the right documentation. What does it show? It shows you are not the LLC, but the LLC is not you, okay? And the more newly established a company is, the more important it is to have this documentation in place. All right, so we got this quick question. True or false, the articles of organization filed to create the LLC in the state are the most important document. Absolutely false, okay? Why is it false? I mean, that creates the entity, but it doesn't do anything else, okay? So what do we want to talk about now is how you're going to operate this LLC. Okay, setting the rules of the road for the LLC, identifying the owners of the LLC. None of that stuff is on the public record. So what are the critical documents to show you're properly operating your LLC to prevent veil piercing, okay, proving you are not the LLC and the LLC is not you? Those documents are an operating agreement, meeting minutes, LLC certificates of ownership, we call those units, and last we have resolutions. So the operating agreement is the critical document govern the heart and soul of your LLC. It limits your minority rights. It sets forth how the company is going to be operated. It identifies the owners of the company. So now, the typical operating agreement, if you were to buy from an online service, or even if you go to a local attorney who can do kind of what I'm going to say is a basic bare bones operating agreement, will be for the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. Okay? What do I mean by that? It's not set up for real estate investors. And typically, you'll have in an operating agreement that says something like this, if it's an Ohio LLC. The company may operate in any and all legal business within the state of Ohio. Okay? Why do attorneys do that? Because they don't want to get sued later, because originally you started as a transmission repair shop, and later you decided to do some other business within the LLC. So they just draw the language up very broadly. This is the opposite of that. Our LLC's business purpose basically says the purpose of the company is to invest in real estate and to grow equity through long-term investment intent. Okay, and then it goes on to say, we'll sell properties when we change our investment strategy, we need working capital, or there's another reason that we believe the property should be sold. So what you're doing is you're creating the view of yourself as a real estate investor. So our operating agreement is specifically and solely designed for your real estate investment activities. Don't buy it if you've got an insurance brokerage and try to use it. Don't try to use it with your cupcake shop. Okay, this is exclusively and solely for your real estate investing activities. We have 240 provisions that cover all facets of your real estate activities and opportunities. A properly designed operating agreement as a real estate investor should also include tax provisions supporting all of the great tax deductions that exist for you as a real estate investor. And we also cross-reference the IRS regulations to show you're in full compliance of all the IRS rules. So next, how about minutes and resolutions? Those are documents really authorizing activity within the LLC. So here's what I can tell you. Generally, the courts do not require LLCs to maintain minutes. You don't have to. Okay, and they're supposed to be more flexible, was one of the things they said. So you do not have to maintain minutes. However, if you are pursued for veil piercing, one of the factors that courts say is, did the company maintain minutes? If the company maintains minutes, and resolutions, by the way, but when the company maintains those documents, that's a factor against veil piercing. On the other hand, without those documents being maintained, that's a factor favoring veil piercing. So although you're not required to have minutes or resolutions, I think you're making a big mistake not to. The next record we got is our membership certificate. It's basically a tangible document like a share of stock. It's for to document that you have an ownership interest in this LLC. And then the last one, as I said, is resolutions. What are resolutions? Resolutions are basically written statements authorizing the LLC to act without the formality of holding a meeting. They primarily are for the purchase and sale of real estate. Okay? So from a legal standpoint, when you don't have these documents to show you are not the LLC and the LLC is not you, veil piercing is not so difficult to achieve. With these documents, it becomes incredibly difficult, if not impossible. Next, how about if you get audited? Once you've got this document in place, it's a business plan. It supports your activities as a real estate investor. Okay, so I can tell you about a guy I represented who had tax returns. Here was a tax return. Year one, Schedule C, income zero. Real estate education and training, $12,000. $12,000 loss. Year two, real estate income zero. Real estate education and training, $8,000. Year three, income zero. Real estate training and education went on. Okay, what happened? He got audited. Okay, and those deductions were disallowed because he didn't have a structure in place to establish that he actually engaged in business. And what the auditor did was basically say, those are non-deductible education expenses. He did not take the step of establishing a business. All right, there are lots more disasters like that that can happen when you don't have the documentation in place. You know, lots of people create LLCs with online services, but really, those documents are not for people specifically investing in real estate. So with that, I can take a few more questions. Yes, sir.
I heard a term the other day about reverse veil piercing.
Reverse veil piercing. What that means is people, it's not piercing the veil at all. I don't like the term, but what it means in essence is someone's going after the equity within your entity. That's what reverse veil piercing means. And so I offer a separate program on how to avoid reverse veil piercing. It's not something I can get into here right now. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
You recommend documenting a resolution. So you choose to buy a property on the stack,
yeah.
And then sign it.
That's it. You're just putting it in a notebook so you have it. You know, authorize the purchase of 148 Atlin Avenue. That's all it is. And then when you sell, authorize the sale of whatever property. Okay? Go ahead.
As a new real estate investor, how many years or is there a time frame that you can deduct education?
Not if you call it education.
Even if you're...
Not if you call it education. Okay, now, once you're in business, once you're active, then you can deduct it, okay? But, you know, the point is, you were saying, I got the impression you were saying, how many years prior can I deduct? Is that what you're getting at?
Just like, so I'm a new person this
right.
year, and I'm having education this year.
Yeah, you'll be able to deduct it if you get this program. That's the answer, all right? Yep, go ahead. Shoot.
Will K-1s take the place of ownership certificates and LLC showing me?
Not really. The question is, would a K-1 take the place of proving ownership within an LLC? I say no, because a K-1 is a tax document, but it's not technically a legal document proving your ownership. So I would say you need to have more than just a K-1 if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah. And then
okay.
Is,
yep, go ahead.
In terms of operating agreement, trading company, non-family partners, I think I have a very robust operating agreement regarding roles, responsibilities, exits, etc. Where I could create one with my spouse, doesn't need to have, can it be less robust?
So his question is, he's got a business separate and apart, not real estate investing, and he's got a very detailed operating agreement identifying all the co-investors' obligations, responsibilities, and roles. He's saying, if I'm in an agreement with my spouse, do I need that? So, presumably you're not going to sue your spouse. I agree with that. But the point is, it's, I think, beneficial because we're going to be talking about, in a minute, how you can use our operating agreement as an audit defense tool. So there's other benefits to it aside from a disagreement with your spouse. Okay. Yes, sir.
If I have more than one rental property, do I need more than one LLC?
If I have more than one rental property, do I need more than one LLC? So I already tried to answer that, but I'll do it again. Generally, I think you could have 20 rental properties in a single member LLC, not a single member, in a single LLC taxable partnership.
Would I lose them all?
So again, I'm going to talk about that. There's a separate product. I'm not offering it right now, but here's what I can tell you. The reality is this, okay? What lawsuit are you worried that you're going to lose them all over?
Kid falls on the sidewalk.
Falls on the sidewalk.
Brain dead. Whatever.
Brain dead. Okay. So I'm going to tell you that I don't believe that's a case where you're exposed because, I mean, presumably you got at least $1 million of coverage. So I'd say you're good. Okay, and if that's really much of a concern, I mean, you can buy an umbrella policy for $5 million. Insurance companies love umbrella policies. Why? Because they're almost never used. Almost never. First, you have to have an underlying liability policy, and then they sell like the umbrella for like $400. It's printing money. Insurance companies love umbrellas for printing money. So, like, I don't think it's something you need to worry about. Okay? Yes, back there.
You were saying that you use the C-Corp for deducting your health care costs. Would that be better than having a health reimbursement account?
I think that there are... Well, a health reimbursement account covers more. So, you could... In theory, you could have a health reimbursement account, which also, covers your like deductibles and copays and stuff like that. So, you know, you could use a C corp to get the insurance and do a medical reimbursement plan within that C corp. Okay. Yes, sir.
Should your man of the property be in a separate?
Okay. The question is, if you transfer your property into the LLC, and by the way, if you've got property in your name and then you create an LLC, you haven't protected yourself at all. It's got to be actually transferred into the LLC. So, but getting back to your question, do you need a separate management company? I don't believe there's any need for that. I don't recommend that, okay? Now, let me just touch on interacting. You're self-managing, okay? So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, no tenant knows you're the owner. You're the rental manager. You don't have to be the owner. Okay? And by the way, you can let the tenant know you think that the owner's a real bastard. Okay? So, like, you can play, in essence, the good cop and, like, sorry, I talked to the owner. He's just not going for it. Okay? All right? Someone over here. Oh, yep. Go ahead.
How do I get properties in my personal name to my LLC?
How do I get properties in my personal name into the LLC? You ever hear of a deed?
Yes.
There you do. You just transfer them, okay? Now, be aware of the fact that if you have conventional financing, there's always a thing called the due-on-sale clause, which basically says if you ever were to transfer this property, you have to pay the note off, okay? You have to pay off the mortgage, okay? So I had a client who worked for, believe it or not, the comptroller of the currency. That's a bank regulator. And every time I've ever discussed this with anyone, they go, yeah, but they never invoke the due-on-sale clause. So I said to this client one time, I said, hey, would you mind if I ask you a question? She said, yeah, go ahead. I said, the due-on-sale clause, it never gets invoked. She says, yes, you're right, it will never be invoked. And I said, can you just explain to me why, right? She says, because in order to invoke the due-on-sale clause, they have to declare the mortgage as non-performing, which means they have to pay more in reserves. It's part of like the way the bank rules work. So what she said is, it costs them money. So they'll never do it as long as you're servicing the debt, okay? So now here's what you don't do. Don't call up the servicer. By the way, the servicer does not own the loan. The loan's held by some, you know, securitized pension fund, okay? They have no idea what's going on, nor do they care, okay? So my point is, you don't call, like, if it's Bank of America administering the loan, go, I'm going to transfer my property, is that okay? They're going to say, no, you can't do that. But my point is, no one cares as long as you're making the mortgage payment, okay? I'll take one more question, then I got to move on. Anyone? Yeah, go ahead, all right. Stand up and yell.
I have an LLC. My husband and I are in the episodes of partnership. We file those once a set. But I have, I flip and I wholesale and I have hold.
Yes.
So all of them?
All in a single thing. I'll tell you why, okay? So her question is, I got rentals and then I got wholesaling, and I do flips and fix, okay? By the way, never use the word flip with an accountant because they will hear the word dealer. Dealer is really bad tax treatment, okay? So here's the point. All of the things, if they're all in one entity, you can, with a straight face, say in the event of an audit, I'm an investor. Every now and then, I might find a property, take an opportunity, and sell more quickly, okay? To the extent that I do that, it is to fund the improvements on my rental portfolio. Therefore, I'm not a flipper. I am a long-term buy and hold investor who occasionally takes advantage of a market opportunity, okay? But you can't say that. You can't say that if you have separate entities for each of those activities. It has to be all combined in one. Okay? That's my point. Do not have us all together. Okay? All right, great questions. So, how would you like to hear about the LLC machine, master machine that I'm offering to you today? It is the best asset protection system for you investing as a real estate investor. It covers all forms of real estate investing techniques. You're avoiding adverse negative side effects. You don't need a lawyer. There's no complexity, okay? Ultimately, you're going to be able to log into the website that we create, okay, and be able to create your documents. So this is a web-based tool to help you set up your LLC with the proper documentation. And the most critical documents are operating agreement extraordinaire, can be used in all states. It's 122 pages. Like a typical operating agreement might be 6 or 7 pages. This is 122 pages covering legal aspects, tax provisions, and your IRS regulations, really supporting your tax saving strategies and giving you an effective IRS audit defense. So, let me move ahead. These are some of the headings within our operating agreement. I'm just going to let you kind of see that this is an all-encompassing matter of materials, okay? See, all these items are covered in our operating agreement. Lee says the operating agreement alone is worth $10,000. Another one, the LLC Master Machine Asset Protection System has the absolute best operating agreement. It's packed full of details that you need to protect yourself and your assets. We find it extremely comprehensive and helpful. That's Tony and Veronica from Minnesota. Plus, and this is what I get excited about, it's got 35 tax provisions. So, you know, I actually represent people in audits very frequently, and it's not because my clients get audited. It's because of my litigation background. There's lots of CPAs that know me, and they know that I can handle an audit. It's similar. It's kind of a mini trial in a way in paper. Okay. So one of the things when you get into an audit is they say, let me see the operating agreement. Bring it in. Okay. So when you get audited, if you were to get audited, you'd be audited in what's called the SBSE division of the IRS. That's a small business and self-employed division. And they audit all kinds of businesses. And they might only ever audit 3 or 4 real estate investors in their entire career, if they're there 25 years. They don't know these rules, okay? So what do? We include within the operating agreement references to some of these rules. For instance, someone that doesn't understand about rental property, okay, might say, hey, why aren't you filing a Schedule SE, a self-employment tax return? And you can then point to the operating agreement and say, under code section 1402A1, rental income is not subject to self-employment tax. Okay, so why am I doing this? Because here's first of all, as a known fact, IRS auditors cannot be evaluated based on how much money they collect in an audit. Can't be done. It's illegal. Okay, what they can be evaluated on is how quickly they move their files, how quickly they close cases. So in my experience, when I put together a package and make it easy for them to digest, to prove, look, these are legit deductions, what do? They look at them, they look at the tax return, and they go, oh, here's a cross-reference. Okay, you're good to go. Okay, so what am I doing? I'm making their life easy. Okay, this is another way of making their life easy, is giving, because finding these tax citations can be a pain. Even for me, if I don't have it like quite right at my fingertips, it might take me 30 or 40 minutes to find it. That's 30 or 40 minutes they lose out on, you know, having a coffee break, to be honest. But anyway, so these are more of the items in blue are the tax law citations we use. And the critical one I want to get to the lady who just asked me about wholesaling and flips, is this William Mallett case, okay? So that's a case that basically says you can sell lots of properties as long, and you're not a dealer, as long as you have a reasonable basis for why you sold them when you did, okay? So in essence, our business purpose references the William Mallett case, so that when you have a single entity, LLC taxes a partnership, and you're occasionally buying and selling properties, you are, in essence, still an investor and not a dealer. But you can't make that argument if you are segregating into multiple LLCs those activities. So that's why you don't want to do it. All right. And of course, our operating agreement authorizes and deducting real estate, education, and travel and training, even if you haven't yet owned any properties, even if you're setting up the LLC this year, but you had expenses last year. The IRS would disallow them, but not when you have our operating agreement that you can cite to. With this legal entity, separate and apart from you, you are basically protecting yourself from both a legal and a tax disallowance standpoint. This is a powerful IRS audit defense tool. Plus, again, we show you how to report your education and training. And by the way, when it's on a partnership return, no one's going to look at it. Put it on a Schedule C with zero income, and you're done for time after time. So this is a testimonial from Adam. With this new system strategy and support, myself and my CPA are confident to fully and safely deduct my real estate education, saving me over $5,800 this year. So, you know, in the past, the problem was hire an attorney to create like an all-encompassing document, like the operating agreement that I'm describing to you. Okay? When I had my separate law practice, if a real estate investor came to me and said, will you create an all-encompassing operating agreement, the first thing I'd say is I don't want to do it. Second thing I'd say is, I need a $5,000 retainer. I'm going to bill you hourly. It's probably going to cost $10,000, but I really don't want to do it. Okay, so what Al Ayala and I did was we did this together. We created these documents. Okay, and so in essence, what are you going to get? You're going to get access to our website where you're going to be able to use the knowledge that we've got, use our documents, and all you're going to have to fill in are a few items. Okay, you're going to put the state where your LLC is established, you're going to fill the date in, you're going to put the name of the company, the name of the LLC, then you're going to identify the members with the person and the percentage ownership, with the person owning the greatest amount down to the person that owns the least. Submit, bingo, what do you get? Operating agreement, minutes of an initial formation members meeting, annual members meeting, membership certificate of ownership, and 14 different resolutions, okay? Now, this is on a Word file. You can edit it, okay? You can edit all of it. I generally don't recommend that you edit the operating agreement, but you can if you want. You're certainly going to want to save to edit in the future the annual members meeting, because you're going to use this time and time again. Same thing goes for the resolutions, okay? The other stuff you don't really need to redo over and over again. Plus, we're going to show you, if you want to use a C-Corp, how to establish that C-Corp and what steps you need to take to establish that C-Corp. Plus, we're going to show you how to either add or remove members, pretty straightforward, very quickly. You know, we're creating all these documents for you. You don't have to hire an attorney. This is done for you. But, you know, with this all-encompassing operating agreement, I can tell you'd be looking at $5,000 fee plus. So here's another testimonial. With the LLC Master Machine Asset Protection System, real empowerment to protect my assets is at my fingertips. It's simple to understand. Best of all, the legal paperwork is prepared with the auto doc prep software. With the push of a submit button, you get operating agreement, minutes, membership certificates, resolutions. Hands down, this is the best investment I've made. Phenomenal work. That's John. He's a real estate investor in Colorado. Plus, if you have an LLC, but maybe you don't feel like you have the right documents in place, this is simple, okay? Remember I said you put the date in? If you established your LLC in, let's say it was August 31st, 2018, okay? You're simply going to put the date, August 31st, 2018, print these documents, you're good to go. Okay? So basically, you can convert an LLC that really gave you limited to no protection into a great protected LLC, as we say, potentially saving you thousands of dollars a year. And, you know, don't forget, with these documents, you're properly operating. Piercing the veil becomes difficult. Aside from giving you this great power, okay, and this great protection, the other thing is, these are not public record documents. Okay, the only public record document that exists is the Articles of Organization. Now, let me touch real briefly on two items. When you file the Articles of Organization, you do not sign them yourself. The person who creates the entity is known as an organizer. Do you think Bill Gates or Elon Musk signs as the organizer of their company? No! They have someone do it for them. You can have someone create your entity It can be a homeless guy, okay? It can be anyone under the sun, okay? So have someone else sign as the organizer, and then do not identify yourself as the registered agent. I'm going to talk about registered agent in a minute. But if you don't sign as the organizer, you don't identify yourself as a registered agent, your name's not anywhere on the articles of organization, okay? Now, the documents that we create are not on the public record, but you can present those documents to push an attorney away from pursuing a suit. Sometimes, even without sharing those documents, you can stop a lawsuit in its tracks. So I'm going to talk about our power attorney letter. Natasha's a student of ours. She got a brother-in-law letter. What's a brother-in-law letter? A brother-in-law letter is when an attorney writes a strongly worded letter that says, pay up or else I'm going to sue you to kingdom come. Okay? Attorneys send these letters, and, you know, lots of time it doesn't come to that, okay? But this is the reply that Natasha sent to the attorney that sent the brother-in-law letters. They were demanding $11,000 that a contractor was claiming was owed. He screwed up the job. She had to fix it for $20,000. She wasn't going to pay him. Dear attorney, Preferred Property Associates, that's PPA LLC, engage your client to do contract work on one of PPA properties. According to the terms of the contractor agreement with PPA LLC, the contractor did not do a satisfactory job, therefore is not being paid. First, all agreements, correspondence, work orders, company resolutions with the contractor were done in the name of Preferred Property Associates, LLC. She didn't do a contract as Natasha, okay, as a separate state statutory entity. Next, PPA LLC has totally complied with necessary entity formalities, including operating agreement, minutes, resolution, certificate of ownership units, executed, notarized on file. Next, LLC tax returns have been timely and properly filed with the appropriate taxing authorities in total compliance. Next, also the property is heavily encumbered with debt, leaving negative equity. Sincerely, Natasha, what happened? Natasha never heard from the attorney again. Okay, so I'm going to tell about you the discussion that happened between the attorney and his buddy who wrote the saber-rattling letter. Pal, listen. This lady knows the score. She's got an entity set up. Okay, you're going to have a tough time with this. Well, I did the work. All right, I don't care whether you did the work or not. Let's assume you did the work. Assume she owes you $11,000. You're going to have to pursue a lawsuit. How do you know you're going to get paid? Well, if I win the lawsuit, I get paid, right? No. What do you mean? Well, first of all, you got to pursue a lawsuit against PPA LLC. You're not suing her. You got to sue PPA LLC. You engaged in a contract with PPA LLC. Yeah, but she's got a big house and a nice car. I ought to be able to get that money. No, because she has an LLC in place, and she says she has all the documents to show that she's backed up. Okay? If she's backed up, you can have a judgment entered against this LLC. But if there's no money to collect, you're going to get squat, okay? What do you mean? Well, if you win the case, that's a judgment. But that doesn't mean you get cash. You have to find property to execute on. According to her, she doesn't have any assets. It's got negative equity. So listen, I don't think you should spend $12,000, $15,000 chasing the lady for $11,000 when you're probably never going to get paid anyway. Lesson learned, all right? So that's the discussion. Natasha avoided an $11,000 lawsuit plus legal fees. A power attorney letter is an example of lawsuit prevention that insurance by itself would not give you. So let's talk about lawyers, okay? I can do that since I am one, still am one. And I, by the way, law school is a miserable experience. The truth is, lawyers are not comfortable with numbers. Why do you think we go to law school? Next, they're never trained in accounting. They want to intimidate their clients using legal terms. They don't tell their clients. It's the use of legal terms that makes people feel like, I can't handle this myself. It's a ruse. Okay? Hourly billed lawyers earn money by extending the case. Even if they can get a case settled in 90 minutes, they got to bill at least 12 hours worth to make a living. So they'll bill 12 hours and then talk to you about settling a case. Unless a lawyer will work on a contingency fee, and that never happens unless you're injured and there's insurance standing behind it, unless that's the case, the best advice most of the time, don't start a lawsuit. And as I said already, winning a judgment, collecting money, are two very different and entirely different things. So in our LLC master machine that we're going to offer you today, and with that, you'll get a 45-minute telephone call with me, are the 16 entity formalities to avoid veil piercing. We're going to show you how to transfer property out of your individual name and into the LLC so that you don't have to pay transfer taxes, avoid the mortgage due on sale clause, and other IRS issues. When you transfer this property into an LLC tax as a partnership, you transfer it at what I call at basis. There's no gain or loss net recognized. You keep the exact same depreciation schedule. By the way, that's not the case with a corporation, whether you got an S corp or a C corporation. That's one of the reasons you don't want corporations holding title to real estate. We'll show you about how to do the special tax allocations. I talked to you about if you give one family member a 1% ownership interest, you can do an allocation where you take 100% of the income, 100% of the deductions. We show you how you can extract tax-free cash out of your LLC without having to pay yourself taxable wages. We'll show you the 7 legal issues and 4 tax issues you must know to set up your LLC as a well-oiled machine. We'll show you why to use Wyoming with many more things to come. So, another testimony. I purchased from just about all the so-called big-name asset protection speakers out there. I tell them your curses are not even close. I tell you, their curses are not even close to yours as to quality, content, or ease of use. Thanks for setting this up. That's Mary Thomas from Orlando. Another one. Before taking your class, I was considering working with one of the expensive lawyers you mentioned, Blank of Texas, whom I found on a real estate education website. And who we would have to pay $7,200. I'm not sure we would have been dissatisfied with the solution, but I'm quite certain it would have cost me a lot more. Your LLC operating agreement alone seems well worth the price that you charge. That's Mr. Vic from Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Anyone who's a real estate investor can use this system. Just getting started, or you've been an investor for 25 years, okay? The one thing you can't do, you can't use this system in conjunction with your self-directed IRA. It would create what's called a prohibited transaction. So that's the only thing that you can't do with it. You cannot combine this LLC with the self-directed IRA. Doesn't mean you can't use self-directed IRAs, just you can't do these two together, okay? So here's another testimony. I filled out all my paperwork in a few seconds. The instructions are clear and easy to follow. I listen to the audio portions while driving. I have great confidence I'm protected from lawsuits in the IRS. What do you get with this? You're not just going to get access to our website. You're going to get customer service. You can email us. So you'll get Janine's email. She's Aliella's daughter. She and I work together. She forwards your questions to me. Any question that you got about implementing our LLC master machine system, okay, you email her, she forwards the email to me. If I'm in the office, they usually get answered within an hour or two. So we got a testimonial here from a guy that runs an online group. You have the best email response system in the country, more so than any other national speaker. That's Frank. Here's another testimony. I purchased the LLC master machine kit. The really impressive part of the subscription is the support. I've had several questions since my purchase. Bill and Janine have been amazing. They not only answer all my questions, but answer them detailed and quickly, most often the same day. Package is definitely money well spent. That's Saul. He's a realtor. Of course, you can share this system with your accountant or your attorney. What they're not allowed to do is start copying it, giving it out to their clients. That's a $3,000 value between the product and sharing it with your professional advisor. You get a membership ownership. Our typical price is $2,395. How about $1,495? Compare that to the thousands of dollars in, you know, tax savings, avoidance of judgments, lawsuits, okay? Included in this is, if you buy, by the way, it has to be today because I'm leaving and I'm going to get the purchase certificates no later than 4 o'clock, okay? So if you want this and you want a 45-minute call with me, you got to buy it now, okay? So, and that 45-minute call has to take place within 30 days, okay? The idea is to get you off the dime, to get you started, okay? So the idea is everyone is worried they got something a little bit different. 45 minutes, I'll be able to talk to you about whatever concerns, questions you've got. That's included with our package when you buy today before I leave. Plus, of course, it's fully tax deductible. I got a tax law citation for you, dropping the price to $1,095. So, couple of bonuses. First, we have an affiliation with a company called Incorp. They work as a professional registered agent. You never want to be your own registered agent, okay? So, Incorp will assist you with filing the articles of organization. They won't charge you a fee. They will collect whatever the filing fee is within the state, okay? But they won't charge you a fee. All they ask, they'll assist you with this, is that you hire them to be the registered agent. Please don't be your own registered agent. And they'll do that for an unlimited number of LLCs for you, okay? Next, we're going to give you an additional 6 months email support. That means 1 year to answer your emailed questions. Next, we've got a subject to report. You know, when you buy property subject to the mortgage, what that means is the seller's mortgage is not paid off. You pay off, you continue to pay the seller's mortgage. You're not going to get a 1098 with your LLC's name on it. Our report shows you how you are absolutely authorized and permitted to deduct the mortgage interest paid on subject to loans, okay? So it includes legal, tax, investment, and financing aspect of subject to mortgages. Part of our package today, it's a $500 value. And then our last bonus is a power elite trust. So understand this, up to now what I've primarily been describing is the LLC to protect your personal assets from the claims of your creditors. But what if you get sued personally, in your personal capacity? Well, if you have the right structure in place, in this case, a trust, an irrevocable trust, a power elite trust, you are judgment proof, okay? So this power elite trust, in essence, it's three trusts in one. What is it? First of all, it's a family legacy trust. In essence, it works as a substitute for a will. Okay, so it'll manage your assets upon your incapacity or upon your death, okay, for your heirs, protecting your heirs from future scoundrels, catfishermen, catfisherwomen, troubled spouses, okay, all with our family legacy trust. Next, it's a privacy trust. So what does that mean? You're going to set this trust up, and you're not going to name it the Bill Knoll Trust. You're going to call it the Great Wolf Trust. Don't care. All right? So you call it the Great Wolf Trust, okay? And then what's going to be held in the Great Wolf Trust? Your personal assets, including your primary residence, your membership certificate and ownership with the LLC we just described, your brokerage account, your bank account, your car, your RV, your whatever you got, those personal items are all titled to the Great Wolf Trust that no one knows you're a beneficiary of, okay? And last, it's an asset protection trust. What that means is you become judgment proof because it's an irrevocable trust, okay, for your use and then your heirs' use, okay? So you gotta have a trustee to manage it, okay? So, but what does that do? That ultimately protects you, okay, from being able to be sued, because you've now, in essence, what you're doing, you're transferring all your assets into the power elite trust. You've got a third-party trustee. The trustee is not, it manages the assets for you, but you can't have a judgment entered against you. Why? Because you don't have any assets, and you've got contingent beneficiaries, and therefore, in essence, you're valueless, okay? So it's an irrevocable life estate grantor trust. Irrevocable is what gives you asset protection. The fact that it's irrevocable, okay? Now, some people worry and they say, I don't like the fact that it's irrevocable. So, irrevocable doesn't mean always and forever, okay? Irrevocable means it can be revoked with consent of all beneficiaries. That's what it means, okay? So, you know, I always give this story. Someone, one of the kids, you're worried might be a hardhead. So, you know, would that kid agree to revoke a trust if I set it up? And so, you know, the other kids, everyone's fine. Then you go to the kids, it's like, well, if you're asking me, I don't have to say it's okay, right? And the answer is, you're right, you don't have to say it's okay. I guess I overlooked to mention that there's a thing called a power of appointment in here, and although I can't revoke the trust, I can remove you as a beneficiary and allocate it to the other people. So all of a sudden, it's like, oh, okay, I consent. All right? So it's a life estate trust, meaning it's for your benefit and use during your lifetime. Last, it's a grantor trust. What's that mean? See, a grantor trust in essence means it is invisible for purposes of filing your tax returns for the IRS. It only becomes a trust where you file a Form 1041 trust tax return upon your death and your spouse's death, okay? So that's how it works, all right? You know, ultimately, the power elite trust gives you probate avoidance. It's impossible to contest. It gives you trust management, privacy, asset protection. There are no negative tax consequences. We've got two trusts, one for someone who's married, another for people who are unmarried. married. We have instructions. We'll answer your questions about the trust. When you combine a Powerleap trust with the LLC master machine system, you've got a perfect level of personal and business protection. That's our Powerleap trust is a $3,000 value today with our package available now. So what are you going to get? You're going to get access to our LLC master machine website. That is going to include instructions for how to set up your LLC. In addition to written instructions, we have audio instructions by way of MP3 files, okay? So you'll be able to understand the system, okay? You have access to Incorp, who can help you set up your LLC for free, so long as you want them to be your registered agent, and please don't be your own registered agent. We've got 1 year email support, so you can email us questions about implementing our LLC system. We include our subject to report, our Powerleap trust, and then you get a 45-minute telephone call with me, so long as you do it within 30 days of the purchase, and you got to buy this thing today before I leave. So that's over $7,000 worth of value. I'm going to drop the price ultimately to $995, and with that, I will meet you in the back of the room, take your individual questions about if this system is right for you or not, and I want to thank you all for your great attentions and awesome questions. Thank you.